Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to Street Knowledge. I'm Crystal Graham, joined by AFP editor Chris Graham. And today we are talking the news that has kind of captivated the sports world, at least those of you that cover the University of Virginia. And let's start by the fact that Bronco Mendenhall has stepped down as the coach. As somebody who's been covering UVA for some time, Chris, the football program, were you surprised by the news from Bronco?
Very surprised. That news is now, gosh, it's only Tuesday of this week. It was Thursday of last week. It seems like weeks ago now because so much has happened or hasn't happened, but has been rumored to happen the last few days. No, you know, the season just ended a week and a half ago. And, you know, when the season was over, I think a lot of folks were looking at, all right, Bronco's here, but will he make changes with his coordinators, particularly defensive coordinator Nick Howell, special teams coordinator Ricky Brumfield? Would those gentlemen be replaced either right after the season or maybe at some point after signing day, which is December 15th? But that was the only news that I was expecting. I think a lot of folks were expecting or at least thought was on the table as a possibility. And really, when Monday of the week after the UVA loss to Virginia Tech in this regular season finale happened, you know, a lot of those moves happened right after the game. You know, Sunday or Monday, for example, you saw Georgia Tech, the head coach there, Jeff Collins, fired his offensive and defensive coordinators. I believe Syracuse coach Dino Babers, I believe it was his offensive coordinator. Those kind of moves happened on Sunday and Monday. Duke cut ties with its head coach, David Cutcliffe, on Sunday. After their regular season finale. So when we get to, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no expectation of any news coming out of UVA, just waiting for the bowl invitation. And that would not come until Sunday. And so when that news came down Thursday, not only was there going to be a change at a coordinator position, but in fact, the head coach was stepping down. That was a shocker.
Yeah. You know, the University of Virginia hasn't really been known as a powerhouse football school. There was a time back in the 90s, I know that you tell me all the time, that they were ranked, I think, number one for a
number
short
one for
time, right?
Three glorious weeks at number one in 1990, yes.
Yeah, so you remember those glory days. But, you know, it is a school that it is more challenging for them to go after a national championship, primarily because of their academic standards and the fact that they don't make exceptions for athletes on their football team. So it's one of those things where it's kind of like, does the school just kind of go with the flow as long as they have winning seasons? Are they happy with that? I know fans put a lot of pressure on related to actually winning, but it seemed to me like Bronco Mendenhall was putting up decent numbers. Like they were winning. They couldn't quite win against Virginia Tech, which I know, except one time, which I know draws the ire of a lot of fans. But when you look at his overall tenure at the University of Virginia, I guess it did catch me by surprise that he decided to step back, perhaps under some pressure, but decided to step back from the program. It seemed that like you said, that the direction should have been perhaps to consider replacing a couple coordinators, obviously not offensive coordinators, because they were amazing with Brennan Armstrong at the helm this year, but perhaps some defensive coordinators, as you said. So yeah, definitely a surprise as far as that goes. What are your thoughts on that? I know you're a UVA alum. You've written about this extensively, but the idea that Virginia is a powerhouse when it comes to football, I mean, is that just something that should be put aside? Should it be okay for them to just have winning seasons and kind of, a fan experience, so to speak?
I don't think it's realistic to expect Virginia football to compete for national championships. And I say that, I mean, if the playoff expands as it probably will the next couple of years, next 3 or 4 years, from a 4-team playoff to a 12-team playoff, I can see Virginia getting into a 12-team playoff. The structure for that that's been proposed has the conference champion getting an automatic bid from the Power Five conferences. I can see Virginia winning the Coastal Division and upsetting somebody in the ACC championship game and getting one of those automatic bids in a spot in the 12-team playoff. I don't know that I see Virginia winning four games, which is what it would take to win that playoff from anywhere from 5 to 12 in the seating. I see that they could win a game or two and you could be competitive, but I don't know that Virginia realistically in a 4-team structure, which is going to probably be in place for at least the next year or two, maybe 3 years, you have to be 11-1 or 12-0 or 13-0 if you win your conference championship game, obviously, to be in the running for a four spot, one of the four spots in the playoff. Virginia is not going to ever go 12-0 or 13-0 to get one of those spots. So, but you know, the George Welch years, he did have Virginia number one for 3 weeks. You know, some weird things happened that year that caused Virginia to fall out of that spot and ended up finishing the season 23rd in the country. And they've had better seasons than that overall, but that team had some injuries, some weird plays, and you know, they were a couple of things away from being in the mix that year. So, I mean, this program could have done that. Now that was 1990, not 2021 and beyond, but you know, the George Welch years are instructive here to me. The floor from 1986 to 1999 under George Welch was 7 wins. That was the floor. You won 7 games every year. Some years you won 8, a couple years you won 9, and you had a chance to do some more things those other years. Every 4 or 5 years, there was a really good team. The 1990 team was ranked number one for 3 weeks. The 1995 team was 9-4 with 3 losses on the last play against, Michigan, Texas, and Virginia Tech. They beat Florida State that year, first ACC team to beat Florida State. 1998 started 7-0 and was ranked in the top 5 and then lost a couple of games. So, I mean, this program, every few years, you could put enough people together as seniors and they could, you know, juniors and seniors, and they could go out and do something. So I think that's the goal for Virginia football. It's not to be there every year, because you mentioned it, Crystal. The issues are, you know, admissions, that they're not lowering their standards. They shouldn't. I'm an alum. I don't want them to lower the standards to let football players in of maybe questionable academic reputation. I want them to win with players who can get into UVA. That's the UVA way. You know, I think that they can strive for that. I think that's a reasonable goal for UVA football.
So I know a lot of you tuning in are probably interested in talking about the coaches or the people that we think could be potential replacement coaches for Bronco Mendenhall. We are going to get to that, I promise, but stay tuned, because I do have one other question along those same lines, Chris. UVA has obviously found success in other programs, lacrosse, baseball, basketball. You know, why is it that that you feel like, you know, that they probably aren't in contention for a national championship when they are in these other sports?
Those other sports don't have as many players. They don't have as many scholarship athletes and walk-ons. Football is a sport. You have 85 scholarships. You have, and when you add on the walk-ons, there's 100 players roughly on each team at the FBS level. Basketball, there's 15 players, 13 of them on scholarship. Generally, you play 8 of them. You know, I mean, that's pretty much what Tony Bennett plays. Lacrosse is a sport that's similarly structured. Baseball, I know that there's 11.7 scholarships, and I think it's 31 players on the team. So, you know, you can build in the sports with smaller rosters. You can, you know, get smart kids into school, smart guys and gals into school, and build a championship program. In football, I mean, you got to get, you know, 85 players on scholarships, student athletes on scholarship, and again, those extras on walk-ons. And 50 of them have to play. I mean, you're too deep, as it's called. That's the starter and backup at each position, both on offense, defense, and special teams. That's 50 players that have to be as good as the 50 best players at Alabama, the 50 best players at Clemson and Ohio State and Texas and Oklahoma and schools like that, Notre Dame. And so it's hard. It's just hard to do it every year. I think it's possible that maybe our top 50 doesn't compete every fourth or fifth year with the Alabamas and Ohio States. We can maybe get 25 or 30 of those kids to be as good as the best 25 or 30 maybe of the Alabamas and others. But I don't. It's not year in, year out. So it's a numbers game is really all it is.
Okay. And Chris, you know, I promised that we would kind of get to these coaches and these predictions as far as, you know, who you think could be named. There have been a lot of names thrown out there. One has been Anthony Poindexter. I know you have a lot to say about that. He was no question one of the best players to ever play the game at the University of Virginia. Whether or not he has the cred to be head coach at UVA is another question, and I want us to talk about that. But I thought also that you could maybe break down some of the other potential candidates that whether or not they're in the running, because we know that we don't actually know who's been interviewed. There's been a lot of reports as to who might have been interviewed for this job. But who do you see as the top contenders to get named as coach? And then we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other columns that you've written and about cred and that kind of thing to actually lead the program.
Yeah, I think that we can go quickly over the other candidates first, maybe is a good way to do it, because this process seems to be leading in one direction. But I'll throw some other names out there first real quick. Tony Elliott at Clemson, the offensive coordinator there. He'd been the offensive coordinator for 2 years. One good year when he had Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. One subpar of the year this year when those guys were in the NFL, had gone on the NFL. He apparently interviewed at Virginia, also has interviewed at Duke. Word on the Twitterverse last night from a couple of reporters who cover Clemson sports is that he has been told by Virginia that he will not be in the running anymore for the job. So Tony Elliott was a top candidate. He's looked at by a lot of folks as a next great potential head coach somewhere. So maybe Duke gets him and he gets the chance to replace David Cutcliffe there. A name I'd thrown out had also come up in the Virginia Tech search process, at least early on in the publicly speculated part of it anyway. Bill O'Brien, the current offensive coordinator at Alabama, former head coach at Penn State, former head coach of the Houston Texans. He had a run. I believe he was a coordinator at Duke back in the day. So he's got some ACC ties. He's only 52 years old. If he's not in the running, which it doesn't seem like he is, it may be because he's holding out for a better job. And he's the kind of guy with his resume, again, Penn State, Houston Texans as head coach. He had 5 winning seasons at Houston in 6 full years, 4 playoff appearances there, in addition to helping rebuild Penn State after the Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky scandal. He's got the chops. He's going to be a head coach again. You don't go to Alabama to be offensive coordinator if you're not thinking you're going to be the head coach again somewhere. Lane Kiffin as an example, Steve Sarkisian as another example there, guys who've held that position for a year or two and then gone on to bigger and better things. And so he was a possible candidate. One name that was thrown out by me this week, because some alums, UVA alums, had reached out to me to throw the name out there. Derek Dooley, former Tennessee coach, NFL background with the Dallas Cowboys, Miami Dolphins, now with the New York Giants. He's worked with Nick Saban for 7 years. He's a UVA alum. He walked on at UVA. Got his degree in American government, which means he's near and dear to my heart. I got an American government degree from UVA as well. I graduated from law school, practiced law for 2 years before going back into coaching. He'd be an excellent choice, and maybe he'd be a great addition to a staff if he's not the head man at Virginia, being, again, a UVA alum. Other names that have been thrown out there, I'm trying to think of some of the other people on the list. The Coastal Carolina coach always comes up on these kind of jobs, Jamie Chadwell. I'm not sure he would be a fit at UVA, but he's had success at Coastal Carolina, obviously. I think I'll kind of stop there because I think this search has led in a direction that seems to be pretty obvious right now. And I could talk all day about potential people and people I'd like to get the job, but we should probably spend some time talking about the person who seems to be getting the job.
Okay, and we're going to move to that. But before we do, I do want to say one thing. One thing that surprised both of us, I think, is that it's taken so long to name the replacement. And in a sense, what we've talked about is contingency plans, right? If Tony Bennett left UVA, Brian O'Connor left UVA, if Bronco Mendenhall decided to leave UVA, there should always be, hey, these are the people that we would talk to immediately after that. Or, you might even have a succession plan kind of in place as to who's name might come up. We've heard Robert Anai's name thrown out there. He's had such a great, offense, hey, could he be the one? You always think that there's probably a contingency and plan in place. And I think for this case, maybe we're feeling like there wasn't, that maybe this totally blindsided, Carla Williams with the University of Virginia, because in this case, we thought it would be named within a day or two of Bronco's announcement, right? Maybe that they already had somebody in the wings. That clearly hasn't proven to be the case.
Yeah, what's interesting about this is I'm kind of reading tea leaves. I'm going back in my thought process. I thought about this when I was trying to go to sleep last night. I've not been sleeping well lately because I've been, my brain is constantly processing what's going on. Jerry Ratcliffe and I had Sean Moore on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. He was helping us preview the Virginia Tech game. And I'm just remembering that before we had Sean on the air, he asked us, because Sean now works for the university in a fundraising capacity. He's actually one of the two guys helping lead the effort to raise money for the new football ops center the $65 million Football Ops Center. And he said, hey, let's not talk about the Football Ops fundraising. Let's hold off on that. Some announcements are going to be coming out pretty soon on that, and it's going to be really big. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm wondering about something there. Then Jerry, last week on our podcast, we did a podcast kind of wrapping up the football season, and the job wasn't open. It was last Tuesday, so a week ago today. No dream, no idea, no inkling that, at least to my knowledge, that Bronco Mendenhall was thinking about anything. But Jerry started talking about Anthony Poindexter for about 10 minutes, completely out of the blue, about what a great head coach he'd make. And it just, I'm kind of adding some stuff up here. I'm wondering if there may have been some inkling ahead of time. I say that to say then this. We know that publicly, we know that Bronco was thinking, he said he was thinking at one Sunday about stepping down. I'm wondering now if maybe he had been thinking sooner than that, and maybe had even expressed some thoughts of that nature, and maybe that word had gotten out. If that's the case, then you'd think we'd be further along in this process. I do think that that's the case. Now, the one factor that is different with Bronco Mendenhall stepping down 4 days or 5 days after the season, and let's say Tony Bennett were to step down 5 days after the UVA basketball season. Now, there is an April signing date in basketball, but that's not a big one. November is the big signing date for basketball recruits. If Brian O'Connor steps down as UVA baseball coach in July, again, that's not a that you could take your time hiring the next baseball coach. You wouldn't be under pressure. But in football, if he steps down on December 2nd, he steps down from the job. December 15th, there's a national signing day. That's when the recruits you've been working for a couple of years to sign their name and fax it to, they still actually have to fax it to the school. You have to find a fax machine, which I'm sure is tough. But you fax your national letter of intent to the school. That day is important because that's the culmination of years of hard work to get those kids in, you know, ready to go to school at UVA. Once they sign that letter of intent, they can't go anywhere else unless you let them out of that letter of intent. When your coach steps down December 2nd, 13 days before that deadline, boy, now you've got to re-recruit those kids now with the transfer portal, your current kids, their coach is stepping down. They have to be thinking, hey, a new coach may not use me the same way. They may not use me at all. They may want to use me in a way I don't want to be used in terms of if quarterback Brennan Armstrong, for example, if new coach is an option coach, Brennan Armstrong's transferring. So, I mean, that's all these considerations. You've got to re-recruit your new recruits. You've got to re-recruit your team. And you've got 13 days to re-recruit those new recruits. And who knows how many days to re-recruit your team. So every day that passes is an eternity.
You mentioned the transfer portal. Is that deadline also the 15th that you have to have your name in that or out?
No,
more flexibility.
You can enter that portal at any time. The problem with it is the kids who are valuable are going to put their name in the portal and be snatched up pretty quickly. For example, Jelani Woods last year on December, I'm going to say it was 22nd or 23rd, he was a tight end at Oklahoma State, didn't feel like he was being used well there. He puts his name in the portal. I think he told a story. We had a story about this in Augusta Free Press. He was telling reporters this spring, maybe it was this summer, about how he put his name in the portal. Then he went and called his girlfriend. And he was sitting on his dorm room bed talking to his girlfriend and literally got a text within like 2 minutes from a UVA coach. That's what happens. I mean, if you're a highly sought after player, prospect, you put your name out there and you get offers. I mean, you know, Brennan Armstrong, if he were to throw his name out there, there's 130 FBS teams. He'd probably have 125 offers, if not more than that, because he would be that valuable of a quarterback for any program, even on a one-year rental prospect. And so you don't want to waste time. I mean, Virginia's already got three offensive linemen, two of whom were starters. One was a Joe Bissinger was not a starter, but played an awful lot of snaps this year. Noah Taylor, starting outside linebackers, put his name in the portal. That doesn't mean they're leaving. You can re-recruit them, get them to come back. They're probably waiting to see what, you know, the new coach is going to be, who the new coach is going to be, how they might be used. But that process is as soon as they do commit somewhere else, I mean, they're gone. So you don't want that to be the case. That's why every hour that passes, much less every day that passes without a new coach, is an eternity.
All right, Chris. So one thing that's obviously got you fired up, and it's not just because you're a writer, it has more to do with the fact that you're a 1994 alum of the University of Virginia. You're somebody who likes to think that the University of Virginia does things the right way, right? That money doesn't play as much of a part in decisions that they make, that they hire the best candidate for the job. All of that has kind of gotten thrown into the air this week, right? It's had you questioning a lot of things. I know you sent an email to Carla Williams and to the university president,
Jim Ryan.
I got Ryan, but I couldn't think of Jim. Jim Ryan. You sent emails to both of them this week because as an alum, you're just a little upset at some of the things that you're reading on Jerry Ratcliffe's site. You mentioned him. Some of the things that you're seeing on message boards. What appears to be going on here, Chris, is what, you know, if you're looking at the bigger picture, what appears to be happening is there are some very powerful people, some very rich people who are backing Anthony Poindexter to be the next coach at the University of Virginia. Now, you would say, as an outsider looking in, and I don't know if we can really call you an outsider, but we'll just say, as not one of those well-heeled people, right? You're saying, hey, wait a minute, he's probably not the most qualified person for this position. Certainly qualified to be on a staff, not necessarily qualified to be the head coach at UVA. But what seems to be happening is it seems to be that there's been this little kind of PR stunt, I'm going to call it, where Poindexter's agent has been working with.
Well, let's not say that. What we'll say is, I'll stop you there. What we'll say is Jerry Ratcliffe, again, he's a colleague of ours. I mean, we work with Jerry very closely. We co-authored a book. It's probably sitting behind me here. You can't see it on the podcast, but it's sitting behind me here on the Zoom. Jerry is the one reporting on this. And I'll give Jerry credit if it works out. And it seems like it is that Anthony Poindexter is going to be the coach. Jerry broke the story.
Is that your take on this right now? You know, your sources seem to indicate that he's definitely been interviewed for this position, right?
Oh, at this stage, no one has any original reporting on this. And I would almost put Jerry in that same realm because what I was going to explain is Jerry has been reporting on this. I think it was last Friday. So the Broncos steps down on Thursday. Jerry starting last Friday starts with the reporting with, hey, Anthony Poindexter is a top candidate. At first that seemed innocent, you know, hey, of course he's a candidate. I mean, he, at least on paper was the co-defensive coordinator at Penn State. He didn't play call. They apparently give that position out. A lot of coaching staffs give out that title to people, co-coordinator. For resume purposes, and that's great, that's fine. But then when we got to the weekend, the reporting ratcheted up to there's lots of alums supporting this, a lot of donors supporting this. The donors are promising they'll write big checks,
and that's what drew your ire, right? The fact that this hire is somehow linked to potentially these people saying that they're going to open their checkbooks to this yes. football operations ops or whatever. I mean, in a lot of what we call football schools, right? The Alabamas, the Clemsons even, I mean, the big schools that you think about when you think about football, you know, your top tens every single year, you know that money drives the program, right? I mean, that's the way that those kinds of programs work. I think what I was getting at when we first started this was just that as an alum, you've never thought of Virginia in that way, right? You don't think of yourself as a school that's going to make decisions strictly because you want an operations center built and funded, right? And for whatever reason, it seems to be, at least according to the reporting that we've seen, hey, people's checkbooks are going to open up as soon as Anthony Poindexter is hired.
Well, and frustrating about that is these same checkbooks weren't opening up when Bronco Mendenhall had Virginia in the Orange Bowl 2 years ago with a 9-3 regular season record, beating Virginia Tech that year. The Operations Center, the Athletics Master Plan, I guess, is the big official name for it, has been on the books for a few years now. And we've known the price tag for this for a few years. It's $65 million for the Operations Center. Phase three then would be building a new building for the Olympic sports. We got to build the Operations Center first. And so the money has been needed and has not been raised for a while. And now all of a sudden, when the word is out there that, hey, if we get to put this new coach in place, and it doesn't matter if it's Anthony Poindexter or whoever it would be. I feel like Anthony's kind of a pawn in his game too, in a sense. But if we get our guy to be the coach, then we'll write checks. Essentially, this is a power play by the big money folks to say, we didn't like the hire of Bronco Mendenhall, even though he was doing a good job at Virginia, had him in the Orange Bowl 2 years ago, had guys graduating. I can't think of the first scandal that came out of his 6 years at UVA. No players arrested, anything like that. We go from that to we want to have a power play. And it feels like to me they forced Bronco out. Bronco, this news was a surprise. But when you look at it from Bronco's perspective, I can't get fans to come to games. We never had 50,000 this year for a game. We never had a sellout in his 6 years there, despite having, you know, an upswing. He's been bowl eligible 5 of 6 years. He had us in the Orange Bowl 2 years ago. No momentum towards his operations center. And now all of a sudden, I mean, here's something, Crystal. I was reading this today. The Board of Visitors has a meeting on Thursday. Among the items on the agenda is a bond issue for the operations center. And it's speculated that there's going to be announcements of big donations to come in. I presume that being Thursday, that means we're going to announce our coach on Wednesday, and it's going to make it the effort is going to be to make it look like the new coach is what got the donations to come in. These donations would have had to have been offered months ago for that to be on the Board of Visitors agenda. And yet it's going to look like and be made to look like this was all a support of Anthony Poindexter. It's a big thumb in the nose at Bronco Mendenhall's regime. I've got no ties to Bronco Mendenhall. I don't know the guy. I mean, you know, except for as interviewed for football coach sitting in a big room with 30 other people asking questions. It just feels to me the wrong way to do things. He was doing the job and he was forced out. And now the money people are putting a guy in place. It feels like to me, Anthony Poindexter is being made a puppet for them. And if he fails, well, then we'll just put another guy in place. That's how things are done at the big football factory schools. That's not UVA. UVA is not a football factory school. UVA is an academic institution among the top 25 in the country that happens to have a great athletics program and a very full athletics program, not just football, not just men's basketball. Virginia has two squash teams. I mean, Virginia fields everything you can field, I think, except gymnastics. I think that's the one sport we don't field in. We win national championships in swimming like last year. There's 29 national championships banners hanging around grounds there. This isn't a football school. This is an academic institution, one of the best in the country, that is now, it feels like to me, especially now, let me throw this part of it in. It frustrates me. Our beloved colleague Jerry is being used, it feels, somebody, whether it's the donors, whether it's Anthony Poindexter's team, whether it's both of those, to float the name, to put pressure on the hire, and then to negotiate the contract. And if they're going to leak, because he's being fed leaks, that's fine. I have no problem with that. He's being fed. I don't care that if the leaks were given to me, I wouldn't use them. So that they went to the right person. They didn't go to me. I've would been the wrong person. But if you're going to leak stuff to get your way, what's to stop you from leaking stuff to get your way in the future? I proposed this in an email I sent to Carla Williams. What happens in the future if Anthony Poindexter has a great recruiting class and the people in admissions say, I'm sorry, but you know, four or five of those kids, and unfortunately one of those is one of your five-star recruits, can't get into the University of Virginia. Their SAT scores, their grade point averages don't qualify for admission here. So what stops them from leaking that out and trying to put pressure on admissions to change its standards just to get football players in? Is that what we want? I mean, all of a sudden, then we're creating a different playing field, and you allow that to happen, then what else do we do at UVA? We might as well just forget all standards and become a football factory. And that's where we're going, and that's what frustrates me.
All right. So indications seem to be that Anthony Poindexter is the leading candidate right now for the head football coach position at the University of Virginia. You know a lot about him as far as his credentials and that kind of thing. Talk a little bit about what he's done up until now, and then what you feel like is missing for, you know, a head coach position at the University of Virginia.
I mean, okay, so I'll say this. When I say I don't know that he's got the best qualifications, if he gets the job, it's his job. And then he's got, any head coach, whether they're the most qualified head coach in the world or the least, the most important thing that they do is then hire staff. And that's when you start questioning the qualifications, so to speak. He from his resume suggests he was at UVA from 2003 to 2013 as an assistant coach, special teams coordinator in one stint. He coached different positions. He went to the University of Connecticut, UConn, from 2014 to 2016. He was the defensive coordinator. That's the one place, but he's been, at that level, the coordinator level, because coordinator level is right below head coach level, right? So he was the defensive coordinator there for three seasons. Then he left there, and when that coach got fired, UConn has a tradition. They every few years, they just cycle through a coach, hire the next one. He went to Purdue. He was officially the co-defensive coordinator, but he was a position coach there with that title for 4 years. And then he was at Penn State for 1 year as, again, officially the co-defensive coordinator, but he was actually just a subordinate to the New Virginia Tech coach, Brent Pry, who was the defensive coordinator. And so he's 45 years old. He was the best player to ever grace Virginia's field, in my opinion. At the college level, he was the best player to ever play football at Virginia. I didn't see Bullet Bob Dudley, so I'll qualify that. He played in the 40s. But the best player I saw in the modern day is Anthony Poindexter. Better than the Barbers, better than Heath Miller, better than Matt Schaub. I mean, at the college level, Poindexter is number one in UVA history. Because of injuries, didn't get to show it in the NFL the way he should have. And that's a shame, but he's been working his way up the coaching ladder. He's 45 years old. I personally think he's probably two or three, 4 years away from legitimately being head coach Power Five material, but that's my opinion. I don't get to make these calls. I don't know the people that Carla Williams has contacted. You know, we won't know that. I don't know if we'll ever know that. We may know it after the end of the process. We probably won't. But is he the most qualified amongst that group? If that's the case, then she didn't contact a big group. I mean, if your best candidate is a guy with 3 years of non-Power Five coordinator experience, then you need to have a better search firm. And we probably need a better athletics director. But he's got the ability. I mean, maybe on paper to put together a good group. The reason you value that experience, though, I'll throw the name Bill O'Brien out there as another example, the guy that I would love to be considered for the job at Virginia. He's at Alabama right now. He was the Houston Texans head coach I mentioned for six seasons and six full seasons, parts of a seventh season. 2 years at Penn State, lots of coaching stops along the way in his 30 roughly year career. He has contacts all over the place. He can pull in guys because he has the NFL head experience, Penn State head experience, all that assistant experience. Poindexter's been at Virginia. He's been at UConn. He's been at Purdue. He's been at Penn State for 1 year. Does he have the contacts to pull in the best people to be coordinators, to be position coaches, to be grad assistants? That's where experience matters. I'm pretty sure, I mean, unless Jerry Ratcliffe is totally being misled, that Anthony Poindexter is going to be named the coach tomorrow.
So you definitely think that the announcement's going to come in the next day or two. And, you know, time will tell. As you said, he was a great player. He's got some coaching experience. So if he is named the head coach, you know, there's lots of young coaches who surprise us all and do good things. So there's always that possibility. You know, the process, I'm sure, has not been what you had hoped that it would be, at least from what you're hearing behind the scenes, because we, you know, as reporters, you don't really know what's going on until it's announced. You can follow flight schedules and things like that online. You can follow message boards. You can listen to sources and leaks and things of that nature, but you don't really know until the announcement is made who the hire is going to be. I know that's why you felt as an alum that it was important to reach out and let the university know at least how you felt about the process and how things have been going related to this. It will be interesting to see, as you mentioned, Virginia Tech had named their coach relatively quickly from when the announcement was made that they weren't going to retain Fuente. But we will see. I'm sure within the next 48 hours, we will have a new head coach at the University of Virginia, and time will tell. It is going to be interesting to hear what the expectations are for this new coach. You always say a winning season. You always say a national championship contender. But what it actually boils down to, because when you look at Broncos' record, wasn't so bad. You know, well, outside of not beating Virginia Tech year after year. You know, like you said, 2 years ago, he had a pretty strong run there, got Virginia in the Orange Bowl. You went to that game and covered it. You know, I don't think he leaves behind this terrible record. It's very easy to say when you have a losing record that it's time to replace a coach. That's the job of a coach. They all know that, right? They have to win. That's their job. But as you've said, you know, do we have to maybe just lessen our expectations a little bit, you know, not always expect to only lose one or two games a season because we, you know, there are high standards for getting into the University of Virginia. I'm going to let you close this up, Chris. I don't know exactly where you want to go with it, or, you know, what your final note is going to be on this. I know that we'll have news very soon on who the coach is going to be and whether or not Jerry's sources are right and that it is Anthony Poindexter, or whether it's someone else. We will know shortly.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're trying to close this up here, and I guess that means I should shut up. I was just going to say a couple things. One, nobody expected Tony Bennett to be named the coach in 2009 basketball coach. Everybody wanted Tubby Smith, who was the hot coach at that time. Nobody expected Bronco Mendenhall to come out of the search in 2015 for the new football coach. Nobody expected Mike London, even though, at least at first. I mean, that was a quick process, like kind of like this one seems to be going, focused on one guy. Maybe a final thought for me would be, I think that unfortunately the perception out of this is going to be that Carla Williams, the athletics director, Jim Ryan, the president, are no longer in control of their departments. They have been dictated to by the money folks. They've been played by the new coach's PR team and a blogger who we love, who doesn't generally get a lot of traffic, but this week he's been getting tons of traffic for his website. And if it's that easy to manipulate the president of one of the nation's leading universities and the athletic director of a massive program with 29 national championships, then we've only seen the beginning of what these folks are going to do now that they have that power on ground. So now UVA is officially a football factory. I think I titled my column today, "Football is now the tail that wags the dog of the university." And I'm not happy about that, if you cannot tell that already. But for Chris LeGrand, thank you for the good questions, for leading us in a good direction here. I'm Chris Graham. Thank you for listening. Follow the news on our website, AugustaFreePress.com. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get the latest on the Hoos and up-to-the-minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.